Okay, I'll cut this down because we are already now running over. I'll make sure we're finished for 12, if that's okay. I'll ask Steve to put up the... there we are. Let me take you to the depth of the Old Testament and a prayer of Jabez in the first book of Chronicles. I'm not going to read it. There it is for you. I'm going to take a drink. Okay, here we go. Chronicles was written about 400 or 500 years before Christ, after the time of the exile, when the chronicler wanted to set out the history of the nation of Israel. And it was in the time of Ezra, who might have been the chronicler, but they set out all the names of the tribes and all the history of the nation. And it's not a book that you take to bed because it's just, it's like Leviticus, it's right in the, it's one of the least read books. And in the first few chapters of 1 Chronicles, about 500 or 600 names. And 44 names in, the chronicler suddenly stops and produces the prayer of Jabez, two verses only. Jabez lived at the time of the Judges, and he was one of the head of the tribes of Judah in the south of the country. He was remembered not for who he was or what he did, but for what he prayed. And although it's tucked away in this book of names, it's worthy of some consideration. It does say in Romans 15:4, "For whatever things were written before were written for our learning, that we through the patience and comfort of the scriptures may have hope." So whatever's written in the Bible, we can learn something from it, I think. And just before we go on into the prayer itself, I am aware of the debate which surrounds this prayer. A book was written about 20 odd years ago by a guy called Bruce Wilkinson on the prayer of Jabez, and he rather suggested that if you sort of read this every day and you read his book every week, it would be some model prayer that you could use for blessing and prosperity. It wasn't quite that, but he sort of was suggesting that. And one or two people subsequently have said, well, it's not a good model prayer, really. A better one would be the Lord's Prayer, which is more rounded and more focused on God. If you look in there, there's a lot of me's and my's, probably five in there. So it's not great theology, this, but it's a prayer of a desperate man crying out to the God he knows, and it's worthy of some consideration, I think. At the very outset, it says that Jabez was more honourable than his brothers, and the quality of honour was mentioned right at the very start. It's the only quality mentioned about him. He was more honourable than his brothers, which may be great, but if his brothers were jailbirds and scoundrels, that may not be saying very much. I like to think that he was honourable. He was obviously a man who knew God and was a prayerful man. What does it mean to be honourable, to be upright, to be honest, to be fair in all your dealings? In the Christian sense, it's to be a man of God, a woman of God, a person who respects and perhaps has a fear of the Lord. Honour is normally merited or achieved in some way, unlike grace, which is unmerited favour. And he, Jabez, probably gained his honour through the fact that, through his sorrows, he was nevertheless steadfast and he knew his God and was prayerful. He was more prayerful, it seems, than his brothers, more honourable. That doesn't mean to say that God has favourites. We all have equal access to God's favour and blessing. Jesus said, "Whoever shall call on my name, whosoever shall call on my name, will be saved." But equal access to God's favour doesn't always equal same rewards. God may well favour those and reward those who seek after him and ask. He wants to bless and give, And there may be things and blessings and rewards for you that you haven't yet received because you haven't asked. So the name Jabez. In Hebrew, it means pain. In the authorized version of the Bible, it means sorrow. The literal translation is, he causes or will cause pain. And he was so named because his mother bore him in pain. It's not known if this was an especially painful childbirth with complications or whether he's disabled. I'm told that most childbirth is... Are the mothers watching on the camera up there? Are they out there? Well done. I'm told a lot of... It must have been extremely painful, otherwise loads of children in the Old Testament would have been called Jabez. And the naming of children was very important in those days. It was often a description or a circumstantial or even prophetic. And names attached to people, in the same way as Bob and Frank and so on, doesn't attach to us. It very much becomes part of you almost. It's more likely that he was born at a time of great sorrow for his mother. It might have been hardship or poverty. And his name will have continually reminded him of that very fact, that he was born into a difficult time. And to have a name like Pain, growing up with brothers, can you just imagine, here comes that little Pain? Or, you know, he must have suffered. It's like the Johnny Cash song, you know, the boy named Sue. And that didn't end well either, did it? So he maybe was a victim, an underdog. He would not have wanted to live up to his name. Hence the prayer later on that he would not cause pain. He must have thought, I can do better than this. So he cried out to God and he called to the God of Israel. Jabez cried out in prayer to the God who he knew, the great Jehovah, the covenant God. He will have known about the patriarchs and the prophets and the Exodus and the manna and the laws and all the things of God that went before, and he knew God, and he had faith that he could pray to God and God would hear him and answer. Now, if I was Spurgeon giving you this sermon, he would have stopped right now and said, do you guys really know God? Don't be so presumptuous. How well do you know him? We know of him, we read about him, we pray to him. How well do we know him? One of the saddest and scariest verses in the Bible is the one at the end of the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew 7. It will be, Jesus said, not everyone who calls me Lord, Lord, will enter the kingdom of heaven. His wasn't a comfortable regular bedtime prayer, a prayer for a parking space or to find some lost keys. It was urgent and direct and deep. And he believed in the power of prayer to change his circumstances. Paul writes in Ephesians 3:20, God is able to do immeasurably more than all we ask or imagine, according to his power that is at work within us. But he wants us to ask. Remember the story of blind Bartimaeus at Jericho, the beggar sitting by the roadside crying out to Jesus. And even then when he came to Jesus, when he was brought to Jesus, Jesus said to him, what do you want? It was obvious, but he wanted him to ask Jesus. You can't out-ask Jesus. You can't out-give him. God wants to give us according to his will for our lives. In Jabez's case, it was a desperate plea. Sometimes God will allow us to go through sorrow and hard times for our own good, to bring us close to him for his ultimate glory. Sometimes joy comes in the morning. I'm not sure what we ask, what we know, and what we're expecting when we ask and cry out to God for an answer to prayer. Our parish magazine has some amusing stories in sometimes, and sometimes they're not very amusing. But I saw one recently which said there was a grandmother taking a toddler for a walk on the beach, and just a wee tot, and a big wave came and got hold of this boy and took him out to sea. And she immediately fell to her knees on the beach and said, "Lord, Lord, save him, bring him back to me." And then just as she was finishing her prayer, a big wave came back in and deposited the boy right in front of her. And she checked him over, and he was fine. And she looked up to heaven with a frown on her face and said, "Lord," he was wearing a hat. God doesn't always quite answer, but he supplies our needs. "That you would bless me indeed." Now, I've used this version because the NIV doesn't include the word "indeed," just "bless me." Now, I like the word "indeed." When Spurgeon did preach on this, he only preached on this little section, this one, "bless me indeed." That was all he did on the prayer of Jabez. And it took him ages, with very long words. And he was hung up on the word "indeed." It's like an emphasis, isn't it? It's like a couple of exclamation marks behind the "bless me." So why did he ask to be blessed? To have some of God's divine favour. He knew it could change his life and be a release from his pain. And it's a promise of God to his children. It's his nature to bless. "He shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory. And his bounty is limited only by us, not by his resources or willingness to give." He's so gracious. He's so gracious. Now, we use the word "bless" a lot. We ask God to bless our meeting, our elders, our children, our food before we eat it, and sometimes when we sneeze. Now, that's all fine, apart from the sneezing, maybe. But let's not water it down. Let's not use it as a "have a nice day." What we're asking for is God's supernatural favour. We're not praying for more of what we can do ourselves or get ourselves, but for that which only God has the power to know about and give us. I love this next scripture. Proverbs 10:22 says, "The Lord's blessing is our greatest wealth." You want to be wealthy? "The Lord's blessing is our greatest wealth. All our work adds nothing to it." And often we're more likely to ask God to bless others than ourselves as well. Why don't we ask God for him to bless us? Bless me. It's a selfish prayer. But sometimes, as long as we're blessing others, we can ask for the Lord's blessing upon us. If we don't, we might just forfeit some of the blessings that he has for us. "That you would enlarge my territory." I first came across the prayer of Jabez about 18 years ago when I was about to change jobs. And it was given to me by Scott Harrington. And it was in the context of my leaving my comfort behind and my setting sail on a new venture, enlarging my territory, my influence. And it was asking God to bless that venture. And I had the prayer of Jabez and the scriptural reference on the inside of a cupboard door for many years. I don't think it's there anymore, but I used to refer to it. And I can honestly say that in all the years I worked till I retired, the Lord's hand was with us. He opened doors. He granted me success in what I did. He will have prevented me from doing things and saved me from a lot of trouble, I'm quite sure. And he'll have covered all my mistakes. But he granted me success. We grew the business. It was based on honesty and integrity, Christian values. And the Lord blessed. And I'm quite sure he kept me from a lot of things. The Authorized Version of the Bible uses the word "coast" for territory, which confirms it really is referring to land. And Jabez was asking for more land, and more land equals more livestock, more provision, more wealth. He wanted to extend the area of his influence. He probably had a dream and a desire to own land. And the question to us from this is what are we still dreaming about? Are your desires? I hope you haven't stopped. It's not too late. If you stop, you'll slow down and lose direction. John's still got a dream. We heard about it this morning. And John's, you know, I don't know what a spring chicken looks like, but John won't see 21 again. He's an autumn chicken. I read this week in the little daily readings book about a sprightly 94-year-old woman. Did anyone else read this? She died days after completing a 16-week course on missionary work. She enrolled on a 16-week course, age 94. What are you dreaming about? This isn't prosperity preaching, by the way. God promises provision, not prosperity. In Jabez's case, even provision might have seemed like prosperity to him. We can ask for God to bless our work. We can ask for success. Put before him your work, your ministry, your domestic arrangements, and ask that God would bless them. Ask him to open doors for you if you're dissatisfied. Don't confuse humility, I can't do that, with fear. I last spoke here a year ago and I talked about fear, getting out of the boat. Don't confuse contentment, which is lovely, with laziness. Our God specializes in working through normal people who believe in a supernormal God. He will work through them. He was waiting for your invitation to get involved. If we ask for more influence and responsibility with which to honour him, he will open doors and bring people across your path. That your hand would be with me. God's hand represents his power and his might. Jabez realised that if he was going to get more territory, more land, more influence, with that would come more responsibility, more hassle, more pressure, more problems. And he needed God's help through it. And we all do. He didn't ask that he wouldn't have problems. He asked for God's hand. In Acts 11:21, we read, "The hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned to the Lord." And what does it mean when we say, or we read, his hand was with them? It means allowing the power of his Holy Spirit to move through your life, to give you that strength when it doesn't seem sensible to have that strength. Only he can give you that. He can give you that wisdom and discernment and knowledge when you don't know where it came from. Allow his Holy Spirit, his mighty hand, to work in your life. In 2 Chronicles 16:9, it says, "For the eyes of the Lord run to and fro throughout the whole earth to show himself strong on behalf of those whose heart is loyal to him." What an encouragement to us to know that we've got his mighty hand. He's there with you if your hearts are right. That you would keep me from evil. A bit like the Lord's Prayer, deliver us from evil. Now, as I mentioned, Jabez wasn't asking to be kept from troubles and pressures. I think it says in the Bible, we'll always have those. There's no escape. We know we're going to get them and the sorrows of life. But he prayed that he would be kept from the effects of evil in his life. He asks for protection. The more successful you are, the bigger the target, the more the criticism, the more enemies you might have. The closer you grow to God, the more you step out for him, the more the devil gets interested. Is that right, Tom and Liz? He doesn't want you to grow. He doesn't want you to do that thing. But calling on the Lord for protection means there's nothing to fear. Perfect love casts out all fear. He that is in you is greater than than he that is in the world. Isn't that right, Tom and Liz? It's the most recent example I can think of. Sorry to pick on you. They're stepping out for God, as are many others. Previously, Jabez prayed for help through his problems, potential problems. Here he's saying, don't keep me through evil, but keep me from evil. If there was a ferocious lion, a hungry lion in the arena, and you were a gladiator, what would you rather have? A big sword or the key for the back door? Ask that we may be kept from evil and the sins of temptation. Flee from them. That I may cause no pain. Jabez did not want to live up to his name. He wanted joy and success, not more sorrow. His destiny was going to be better than his history. Likewise, for some of us, we don't need to carry around the pains of the past. Joyce Meyer preaches a lot about her past and how she's been set free from it because she realized that because she had a painful time, she was becoming a pain for others. She was becoming a burden. Get rid of it. Ask God to deal with it so that you might not be a burden to others and that you'll find a new joy. So God granted him what he requested. What a marvellous, straightforward sentence that is, isn't it? I like that sentence, don't you? God will answer according to his will and good purpose for our lives. In his time, let's not forget that. In the case of Jabez, this was a selfish prayer from a desperate man who a merciful father responded to straight away. Jabez had the faith to pray, expect an answer. There's no mention of him having any special talent or ability, but God loves to use ordinary people who are willing to trust him and to see them succeed. And you could be one of them. Jabez's eyes were on the future and not his difficult past. So, what do we learn from this little prayer that was set down 2,500 years ago? That out of pain and sorrow, we may call on our Heavenly Father, whom we know and love, for him to bless us and protect us. So let's ask. Ask the one who loves you and is able. You never know, he might just grant your request. Amen.